Hi, I'm Brian from Olathe, Kansas, and you're listening to WGXC Akron 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we are going to hear all about the Albany Climate Rally held Friday, March 25th, and asking for Albany to move quicker in transitioning away from fossil fuels. We'll also hear about some local and national musicians coming to Catskill soon to perform, and we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, and it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Network on air, in air, waves controlled. Blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood.
April is Jazz Appreciation Month, and the Hudson Area Library is celebrating with a performance from the Michael Benedict Jazz Vibes Quartet. That's Michael Benedict on vibraphone, John Leroy on keyboards, Mike Richmond on bass, and Andy Heron on drums. They are performing at the Hudson Area Library on April 2nd. That's it, from noon to 1 p.m. You can go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information about this event or many other community events, and you can even add your own event there at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bindlestiff Family Circus of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Shanice Holmes Brown reports in the Times Union that New York women earn 86 cents to every dollar men earn, according to a report from Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli. That figure comes from an analysis from state data in 2019 of the median earnings of full-time working women in New York. Median earnings for men in New York working full-time year-round in 2019 averaged $60,813, compared to $51,992 for women, difference of $8,821. That's slightly better than the national wage gap of $10,150, with women earning 81 cents per every dollar men made on average across the country. Quote, March is Women's History Month, and there is no better time to highlight this unfair pay disparity in the workforce, unquote, DiNapoli said. Quote, my analysis shows our country still has a long way to go in closing the gap between full-time working men and women, unquote. New York has the 11th smallest gap in the country. Quote, while New York has done better than most states, more can and should be done, unquote, DiNapoli said. Quote, policies to expand child care and improve pay transparency should be part of any multifaceted approach to achieve equal pay, unquote. More about this story in the Times Union.
Noah Eckstein reports for Columbia Green Media that activists from the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement nonprofit were among more than 1,000 workers, community members, and elected officials protesting in Albany March 23rd for funding of undocumented immigrants and self-employed workers in this year's state budget. Aridian Lucas Garcia, Excluded Workers Fund Regional Implementation Coordinator of the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement, said, and I quote, the Excluded Workers Fund was life-changing for those who received it, but in upstate New York, too many were left out. It was heartbreaking to call community members to inform them that funds were closed and there would be no relief for them this year, end quote. The Excluded Workers Fund was created in last year's state budget, and 130,000 New Yorkers received $2.1 billion in benefits. But that's all gone, and unless state legislators re-up the program, those workers are out of luck. The state budget should be set up April 1st. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting a new study by researchers at the New York Medical College and Westchester Medical Center Health Network has found some patients still suffer from persistent neuropsychiatric issues months after recovering from acute COVID-19 infection. Those issues include diminished focus, forgetfulness, and difficulty making decisions and multitasking. Devin Ferrando, MD, the R. Esch Professor and Chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the Medical College, was the lead author of the study. Quote, we found that many of these individuals were in fact not thinking clearly, and it was not just about depression or medical comorbidities, but something that the virus was doing in the brain that leads to residual cognitive problems. So the takeaway message is that for patients who are complaining of post-COVID-19 cognitive issues, there may very well be something there. These complaints are not imagined. They are not psychosomatic, and they need to be taken seriously, unquote. 60 participants in the study underwent neuropsychological, psychiatric, medical, functional, and quality of life assessments 6 to 8 months after suffering from COVID-19. Researchers examined the ability to remember things, to focus, to think abstractly, to plan and organize, as well as psychiatric measures, and found differences between two groups of participants that were both statistically and clinically significant, Ferrando said. Quote, and while we found that these types of cognitive problems are definitely correlated to how sick they were when they had COVID-19, some describe their illnesses as the worst flu they've ever had, for instance, none of these people were in the ICU, unquote. Though their first research study on the topic is just newly published, Ferrando said researchers are already conducting further research with the same group of people. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Spectrum News reports that legal retail sales of cannabis have begun in New York even before all the regulations are set. Native Americans have opened stores on Mohawk territory straddling the Canadian border and the Seneca territory in western New York. The Cayuga Nation has two stores in the Finger Lakes. William Roger Jock, a partner in Goodleaf Dispensary on the land the Mohawks call Aquasensi, said, and I quote, we've been stepped on for so long, and to have something like this happen, it's almost liberating, end quote. New York legalized recreational cannabis a year ago, but stores are not expected to be open for another year as no licenses have been issued. Ryan White, who is opening a store on Mohawk land, said, and I quote, we know that there's a big market for cannabis. We see people as far as 50 miles away coming in. They come in for gas and for tobacco products, and we're going to be targeting them too, end quote. Read more about this story at Spectrum News.
Danny Jin is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that the Pittsfield City Council and School Committee have voted to endorse a November ballot question that would raise funds for education and transportation through an income surtax on top earners. Under the proposal known as the Fair Share Amendment, Massachusetts residents that make more than $1 million in annual income would pay an additional 4% in taxes on income above $1 million. roughly 21,000 taxpayers, or 0.6% of the Commonwealth's residents, would pay 5% in taxes on the first $1 million and 9% on income above that level. Frank Farkas, a member of the local committee, told the City Council last week that the ballot initiative provides a unique opportunity to support local schools, bring down tuition in community colleges, and improve public transportation. Council Vice President Pete White said that he supports the initiative as a way to bring in revenue beyond property taxes or local fees. This is a way we can bring in more money for education, for infrastructure, for transportation, without directly taxing most of our citizens, unquote, White said. Ward 2 City Council member Charles Cronick was the only member to vote against the resolution. More about the story in the Berkshire Eagle.
The Daily Freeman is reporting that New York's Department of Agriculture and Markets is shutting down all live fowl shows and exhibitions until further notice because of the highly pathogenic avian influenza. Commissioner Richard A. Ball issued an order March 25th because of the outbreak in 17 states. Ball said in a statement, and I quote, "Avian influenza is a very serious threat to all poultry and breeds of fowl and is continuing to spread in the United States. By banning fowl shows and exhibitions in New York until further notice, we are taking a common sense step to limit the commingling of birds to slow the spread of this disease in New York State and help keep our birds safe. Our poultry industry is a significant part of New York's agricultural industry, and steps like these are our best line of defense against the disease," end quote. Four flocks of birds in New York have tested positive for HPAI so far. Last month, a pheasant flock in Dutchess County and a backyard flock in Ulster County tested positive for HPAI. The ban may impact fair season later in the year. Animal health experts recommended poultry owners keep their birds away from wild ducks and geese and their droppings, and outdoor access for poultry should be limited at this time. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Monday should be mostly cloudy but cold, with a high of just 25 degrees and a low around 13 Monday night. Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high of 35 and wind chill values as low as negative 1. Mostly clear Tuesday night with a low around 15. And then Wednesday, slight chance of rain after 2 p.m. with partly sunny skies, a high of 46 and a low around 32. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears. Monday, March 28th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio at 90.7 FM. We'll have a report about Friday's climate rally in Albany on the WGXC morning show at 9 a.m. Then hop on the Afrosonic Taxi with Della Somisi, Kalagua, and Azukia, among others. That's at 10 a.m. At 11 a.m., Brendan Donegan is playing favorites with Bossa Nova live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. Then at noon, after the local news, it's time for the Deep Threes program, this week with tracks from Rachel Shen, Sarah Manning, and Psychic Frequencies, among others. 2 p.m., there's new music from around the world on the Vital Weekly show, including Hudson Valley saxophonist Fred Lundberg-Holm, and also from Kath Roberts, Adrian Munden, and others. 4 p.m., Kieran Riley is live from Housatonic in Western Massachusetts, hosting the WGXC Afternoon Show. At 7 p.m., James Ronnie talks about international criminal law on the Law and Disorder show. And at 10 p.m., it's time for the Driftless Turmoil program with Horse Lords, Oneida, Test Department, and others on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC. Yes.
get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
The Jacob Leisler Institute for the Study of Early New York History is giving out a $500 scholarship in memory of Ruth Pawanka, an influential and well-known local historian. The award will go to a student locally looking to further their education in history. The scholarship is available to college-bound seniors graduating from a Columbia County school, and applications are due by May 1st. For more information and application guidelines, you can contact the Leisler Institute at info@jacobleiserinstitute.org. Go to the WGXC community calendar online for a link to this scholarship award information and listings of all sorts of other local community events.
Find out where the music takes you on the next Deep Threes when RHA gets together in the south of France for an improvised reunion. Plus guitar riffs for a new space age from Cosmic Letdown and a stop in Prohibition-era Chicago with Brian Carpenter. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, March 28th. We are 24% of the way through the year. We have 85 days left until summer. And believe me, it's going to feel that far away this week. Early morning lows range from 12 in Windham to 22 in Nevis. Soil temperature is 40 degrees after taking a slide over the weekend. Grab those thick coats, hats, and gloves because conditions will be sub-freezing today. The regional average high temperature will be 26, happening at 2 p.m. All day long, a band of lake effect snow will be targeting different parts of our region. When traveling, be prepared for sudden blowing snow. A half inch total is expected by dark, and from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., wind gusts will be shaking some vehicles out on the highway. Overnight, things calm down and dry out as temperatures drop to 18 degrees. Tomorrow will be breezy with a high of 37. Overnight, a low of 15 degrees will be seen before a Wednesday with a high of 43 and a rainy afternoon. 36 degrees overnight takes us into a wet and possibly stormy Thursday with a high of 56. Friday will have lingering rain and a high of 51. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 12:32 a.m., low tide at 7:02 a.m., high tide again at 12:58 p.m., then low tide again at 7:40 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 40 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:01 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:41 a.m. Looking way up, we see a large assembly of sunspots are swinging into view today. The very active regions could release Earth-directed flares today. Solar wind speed is currently 560 kilometers per second at 9.4 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, unsettled. The current sunspot number is 97. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland. Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
Back in LA, summer's
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11. Some restrictions apply.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Igers Kildas and Louisa Sabin Kildas of Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
We'll be right back.
That was Sarah Schoenbeck and Wayne Horvitz with Anaphoria from a 2021 album. And Horvitz and Schoenbeck are playing in a duo Friday, April 8th at 7 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. WGXC should have a live web stream and a live broadcast on 90.7 FM of Wayne Horvitz and Sarah Schoenbeck duo live at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Friday, April 8th.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Our next speaker, some of you may already know, is Mark Dunley. He's speaking on behalf of the Green Education and Legal Fund and probably a few other organizations as well.
Thank you, Pepper. And I could say I am also the convener of PAWS, People of Albany United for Safe Energy, which is the 350.org affiliate here in the Capital District. And I'm also the co-chair of the Eco Action Committee of the Green Party of the United States. We're here today because Fridays for Future has called another global climate strike, and people are protesting all over the planet. I know a lot of the high school students here in the Capital District told me they'd gone down to New York City today. But I want to just sort of read something that Fridays for the Future wrote about why they called this event. The catastrophic climate scenario that we are living is the result of centuries of exploitation and oppression through colonialism, extractivism, and capitalism, and an essentially flawed socioeconomic model which urgently needs to be replaced. A system where rich nations are responsible for 92% of global emissions and the richest 1% of the world's population are responsible for double the population produced by the poorest 50%. We need system change. We don't need climate change. I'm excited that Fridays for the Future is willing to point out, much as Pope Francis pointed out in his climate encyclical, that capitalism is a root cause of the climate crisis, and that we have to replace a system which puts the profits and the wealth of the 1% ahead of the needs of the 99%. And we're standing here today across the street from the state capitol, and where the legislature for 30 years has done virtually nothing on climate. They finally, 3 years ago, passed the CLCPA, which actually just incorporated what the governor had issued as an executive order 10 years prior to that. But they have failed to act since then. Groups are calling for at least $15 billion a year to be invested in climate change and new funding. They're not investing any new money. They passed a law as part of the CLCPA, probably the best part of the CLCPA, which said 35% of new climate funding is going to go to environmental justice groups and disadvantaged communities. That was a real step in the right direction. But as other people have pointed out, 35% of zero is zero. And when you're not putting any money on the table, you're not, you know, fulfilling that. Climate Can't Wait is a coalition of about 40 climate groups in New York. Because of the lack of action by lawmakers and the governor, they've come together around 12 different bills and policy recommendations. None of them have yet been adopted. They are moving somewhat, fortunately, on trying to stop putting new gas into buildings. They need to do it faster. They need to build windmills faster. They need to build solar faster. But most of all, they need to stop global greenhouse gas emissions. The reality is that after 30 years of discussion by our state lawmakers, emissions from the two biggest sectors, which is not electricity, it is buildings and transportation, they continue to rise. And when the International Governmental Panel on Climate Change issue their most recent report, the United Nations said this is code red for the planet. That what our governments have done since the agreement in Paris will not stop climate collapse. We've had a lot of hot air, as Greta Thunberg, the founder of Fridays for Future, say, we've had a lot of blah, 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 blah. Politicians are good at talking. They're not good at delivering. We have to say no to all new fossil fuel uses. We have to phase out rapidly our existing fossil fuel uses. We have to stop all these cars, burning hydrocarbons. There will be a big rally here statewide on Earth Day. Going to start at the Department of Environmental Conservation, march up here to the Capitol, have some speakers and music, then march over to the governor's mansion. But this has to be the Earth Day. This is the 52nd Earth Day. This has to be the Earth Day where we shut down the fossil fuel industry, that we tell the politicians, stop lining your pockets with campaign contributions from the fossil fuel industry, that we need a Green New Deal. And the Green New Deal, which I helped write back in 2010, and frankly, I stole it, or we stole it from the European Greens, who actually pushed it in 2018, is two things. It's a rapid transition to zero emissions, not net zero emissions, real zero emissions, but it's also an economic bill of rights. Like FDR had proposed in his last State of the Union address, we want a right to a decent job, a living wage job, a guaranteed income, universal health care, to housing, and to education. We need a transition that lifts up everybody. Everybody must benefit from our climate future. We're in the midst of the sixth great extinction of species on this planet. People forget humans are just another species. And when we destroy the web of life, the future of humanity is at peril. And one of the reasons I've also been active with Extinction Rebellion is just that. The fact that scientists now debate, well, is the chance that the human species will go extinct by the end of the century 5%, 10%, 40%? There was a report from the University of San Diego that Jerry Brown, former governor, wrote the forward to. They estimated a 40% chance that human species on this planet would go extinct at the end of the century. The fact that we're even talking about the possibility of human extinction, and that we continue each year to have greenhouse gas emissions increase. I mentioned I'm involved with 350. That's the target. Keeping carbon at 350 parts per million. And as Pipper said, we're at 419 and we're climbing. So I really want to thank Fridays for the Future for calling this day of global strike, and hope to see everybody out storming the Capitol and back here on Earth Day. Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org. Thank you.
That was 2021 local music from Hudson Valley composer Mark Trecca collaborating with Walt McClements there on Radiance from his Implication album. Trecca opens for Glenn Jones Wednesday, April 6th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Jones used to play guitar with Cul-de-Sac, and Trecca is a Hudson Valley composer who works with prepared piano cassette loops and makes other experimental music. WGXC will have a live web stream of the Glenn Jones Mark Trecca show Wednesday, April 6th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Chocolate pigs are awesome.
I turned it down.
But only dogs can hear.
I turned it down.
Did you hear that?
No.
Ventilation, yeah.